Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled, It Took a Miracle. It Took a Miracle. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, chapter 4. This portion of Scripture has been preached many, many times. I've preached it from different times. I'm going to look at it from a little bit different direction this morning, and I trust that it'll be a blessing and a help to us. 4th chapter, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God that he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful story. Thank you for the miracle, Lord, that you provided, that what you did here in this situation. And Lord, you are just God. You always work miracles, and I thank you for that. And I ask you to help this preacher do a miracle through him this morning, Father. He's not much. He can't do much. But Lord, I'd ask you to help me, empower me, and give me wisdom, the things that I need, Lord, this morning to bring forth the message that'll be a blessing to this people. Now we thank you in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to, as I said, preach a message on the subject of It Took a Miracle. I believe that this portion of Scripture, wonderful truths can be preached from it. But I believe also it's a wonderful, wonderful picture of salvation. And we want to look at that for this morning as a picture of a sinner who is saved by a miracle of God. And any person saved out here this morning, it was a miracle. It was a miracle that you got saved and I got saved. Amen. It took a miracle of God to do that. Amen. No other way could you and I get saved except through the wonderful miracle of God Almighty. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Well, please put a smile on your face and show me that you're glad this morning. Amen. Try to help me a little bit. I want you to be happy. I want you to know you're saved, and I want you to be happy about being saved. There's no greater miracle on the face of this earth than the salvation of a soul. Amen. No greater miracle. It just don't happen. And so this morning we're going to look at that. I want to first of all look at the curse of sin. Now, you don't have to turn over there, but listen carefully to what Book of Romans, the 5th chapter, the 12th verse says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You understand that there is a curse of sin upon every individual upon the face of this earth. I mean every one of us. Do you understand that? The curse of sin is passed upon us all. Amen. One of the hardest places or things for a preacher to do nowadays is to get people to understand they're sinners. No, I'm serious about it. You may not understand that, but it's one of the most difficult things anymore, because we've all got that little pride in us that wants to say, you know, yeah, but everybody else not bad as I am. I'm not as bad as everybody else. No, that's not true. The curse of sin is upon every individual in this room this morning and upon the face of the whole earth. It's on us. It's an old curse of sin. Now, I want you to notice that one of her problems was, if you notice, her husband had died. He was a man of God. He was a prophet. And he was a man of God. And he died. I want you to know the curse of sin always involves death. One part of her family, part of her problem was that her husband had died. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You understand? In everybody's life this morning, the problem that you had and I had, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead. Amen? And so here the death was a part of this lady's problem. I don't know whether you ever thought about it or not, but sin kills a lot of things. Sin kills joy. No, I'm serious. Sin kills joy, not only for the unsaved, but for the saved. You see, if you're living in sin, you don't have much joy. Don't tell me you do. You can laugh and do anything you want, but inside you don't have much joy. Because sin kills it. Sin kills peace. Sin kills the peace of God. You see, you say, well, I have peace. If you're living in sin, no, you don't have peace. Don't tell me you do. I know better than that. You see, I've been there. I know better than that. You see, I get away from God. I've gotten away from God over years and times and places. And I had no peace. And the only thing to do is get back close to God. Amen. You see, it'll kill all the peace you ever had. If you're living in sin, it'll just kill your peace. You don't have any peace. You see, and not only that, it'll kill you physically. Do you know why my mom and daddy died? Now listen to me. You know why my mom and daddy died? Because of sin. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, you mean they were sinful folk? No. The curse of sin is upon everybody. The reason you and I is going to die is because of sin. You understand that? No, it's because of sin. There's sin attacked this old body, and this body can't live. No way under the sun this body can live. Now the soul can for eternity, but these old bodies are dying because of the sin principle in them. You understand? So sin, see, it kills the joy, the peace, it kills the physical body, and it also kills the spiritual life. You see, you can't have a relationship with God, you see, and not have your sins washed away. You understand what I'm saying? You have to have your sins washed away. Did you hear the statement our president made? I was so proud of that. He said, I don't see how anybody, I don't think anybody could be president without having a relationship with the Lord. Boy, he got it right. How could anybody be president of the United States and not have a relationship with God in the times that we live? Amen. So it'll kill your spiritual life. Understand? You've got to be born again. You've got to be washed in the blood of Jesus from your sins. And then also, of course, the spiritual life of the believer. The spiritual life of the believer is not much whenever sin is in that life. See, sin kills it. Just no peace there, no joy there. You understand what I'm saying? You see, and you say, Preacher, why are you talking about? Well, I want you to have joy. I want you to have peace. I want you to have that. I want you, if there's sin in your life, get rid of that sin. Get it right before God and regain the joy of my salvation, David said. You see, and God wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. And if there's sin there, it'll just kill it. You hear that? All right, so her problem, part of her problem was death because her husband had died. That's always true. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Amen? That's where we're at. Not only that, her problem included a debt. There was a debt owed, and her sons was the ones that are going to have to pay for that debt. In other words, they was going to be a bondsman. She was going to have to give her sons up, and they was going to have to go into slavery, you see, because of the debt. Listen, she couldn't pay that debt. She didn't have anything to pay it with. You hear this, preacher? She had nothing to pay it with. Listen to me, folks. Coming to Christ, you have nothing to pay your debt with. You don't have anything to pay your sin debt with. You're bankrupt, and so am I. Amen? And we need help from outside. We need a miracle. It took a miracle. Amen? And so I'm saying to you, you see, the problem included debt. Now, you listen to me. If you're not saved, you owe a debt that you absolutely cannot pay. And Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Amen? But he paid your debt for you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen, you see. So it included a debt, you see. We're under the old bondage of sin, slavery to sin, and it took Jesus to release us and pay the debt for us. Amen? And not only that, I want you to notice that the law is only condemnation to us. You say, Brother Ross, the law of God is perfect. It is, but it just condemns us. Law of God does not do anything else but condemn us. You understand? It's a schoolmaster that brings you to Christ. All you have to look and look in the law and find out the things the law says thou shalt not do, and you look and say, well, I've done it. Amen? I've done it. And you see, the law has, did you know the law has no mercy whatsoever? No, the law, and it's what they said here, the creditors said, you owe it, you've got to pay this debt to this lady. You've got to pay it. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. All of us are guilty of all the law. Amen. Every single one of us is, you see. We have a debt we cannot absolutely ever pay. And the law of God cannot get us into heaven. The law of God is perfect. And it's the perfect law of God, but it can't get you tonight to heaven because we'd have to follow the whole law of God, you see. And she didn't have enough to pay the debt. The law condemned her. They said, you got to pay this debt. You got to have, the creditors are coming. They're going to take your two sons, going to be in bondage, you see. This lady's problem was a debt, and the law could not help her. All the law could do is condemn her. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, and what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I want you to notice what she done. She went and sought counsel from the Word of God, from a man of God. She sought counsel from the Word. That was the only hope she ever had. You see, when we realize we're lost, I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to get into the Bible. We got to be taken to the Word of God. We got to be showed the precious truths of God's Word. She sought a prophet of God to show her. In other words, she went after the Word of God. Now, I say to you that that's what she needed. She needed to come. She needed to hear the Word of God to be saved. I'm saying, you know, it seemed, I'm sure that day as she was there and old Elisha was talking to her, I'm sure she thought, well, that's a foolish thing he's telling me to do. He's telling me to go borrow a bunch of pots, empty pots, and bring them in and then just start filling them up. I can't fill them up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that day? Listen a minute. Can you imagine that day? There she was in that house, and she had one pot of oil. Ladies, imagine going home today, nothing in your cupboard but a pot of oil. Nothing in the freezer, nothing in the cabinet, nothing whatsoever in your house, whatsoever, but a pot of oil. And this silly prophet says, go borrow some vessels. Sounds foolish. Listen to me. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are lost. There was a time when the preaching of the cross was foolish to you. You would hear it, but you would not do it. You would not accept it. I wouldn't either. I'm saying to you, the one thing that she needed was the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God received by faith. To do exactly what God says to do, no matter how foolish it seems. What I'm saying to you folks, if you're here without Christ, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, that's foolish. What do you mean, believe upon the Lord? No, that's exactly what you must do. It's the cross, the preaching of the cross. It's what Jesus done on the cross of Calvary that'll save your soul. And you need to believe that and trust God with it. And believe it no matter how foolish it sounds. You know, I realized, and I thought for some time myself, my wife and I sat at home after we heard preaching, wanted to know what this salvation is. You may never had went through that. That's what we done. We went and we'd been in church. We knew about church, but we went and heard the Word of God preached. And we'd come home at dinner table and with our kids, and we'd sit there and we'd think about it. And we said, what's this? What are you talking about being saved? We didn't understand. We didn't know. And so we just kept going, kept hearing the Word of God. And finally it came through to us, and the preacher helped us, and he explained to us the Word of God and told us what it meant to be saved. Now, do you understand? You see, that's the wonderful Word of God. We've got to receive it, believe it, no matter how foolish it sounds. We just got to believe the Word of God. Did you know if you're lost this morning, you can be saved? Do you know if you're lost this morning, you can believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Let me show you something over in Romans, the 10th chapter of Romans. Listen at verse number 9. Listen to these wonderful verses. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, did you hear what God said? Young people, listen to the preacher. Pay attention to the preacher. You hear what he said? He said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus died and he was buried and God raised him from the dead? Do you believe that? Amen. That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, he's saying if you believe the gospel, you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. If you believe that in payment of your sins, you realize you're an old sinner, God will save you. Now, do you believe you're a sinner? Let me ask you, do you believe you're a sinner? Listen to me. Do you believe you're a sinner? No, I mean an old, rotten, no-count sinner. Do you believe that? I mean you're lost. You're hopelessly lost. In God's eyes, you're lost. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that? Do you believe they buried him? And the third day he rose again from the dead. Do you believe that? Now sits at the right hand of the Father. See, do you believe that? See, I mean in your heart, because that's what it says. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says, you got to believe in your heart. It's heart belief. It's not just head belief, it's heart belief. And then down in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to call upon the name of the Lord. You want to ask God. You say, God, I'm an old sinner. I'm worthless. I'm lost. And I need you. And I believe you're the Savior. And I believe you'll save me if I ask you. See, and I ask you to save me and give me eternal life. God says he'll save those who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. See, that's a wonderful thing, you see. It's a wonderful thing. We got to hear from the Word of God. We got to know and do what the Word of God says. Amen. You see, it may sound foolish to the world, but it's not foolish. It's right. It's right. It's perfect. It's how we get saved. Amen. So I'm just saying to you, I look back, honestly, I look back on my own life, and I look back when I was about 13 or 14 years old. And when I walked down in a church aisle, and I shook a preacher's hand, and he took me and baptized me, I had to ask myself, did I really believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, or was I just coming to join the church, or was I just coming to do what they said to do? Or was there conviction in my heart? And I had to look back and say, no, don't think so. I just joined the church. That's why in 1966, I got under conviction from the Holy Spirit of God about my sin and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, folks, there has to be conviction of our sin. We have to realize and understand. Amen. I know many out here has made that same thing. Betty Townsley tells of the same thing. She was earlier thought she was saved. She was trying to do it her way and all this other. She had to finally come and just give it to God and ask Christ to save her. That's what you have to do. Now, don't play games with God. Don't play games with him, because he don't play games. You understand? There needs to be a time when you understood you're just an old sinner from the Word of God. That's what this lady needed. She needed some miracle from the Word of God. She needed a miracle from God to take care of her. Amen. And then we see the deliverance in verse number five and six here. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. You see, the result of the miracle here was her deliverance. She had the ability to pay the debt. Amen. It wasn't basically her paying it, but it was a miracle of God that paid it for. That same way salvation. Amen. Same way of salvation. You see, it's a miracle of God that pays the debt for you. And her miracle, her deliverance, was a merciful thing. It was by the grace of God. Amen. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven words of a man in the New Testament, a publican, that said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you understand what he was saying? God, he understood it had to come from God. Be merciful. He understood it must be by the mercy of God. Who? To me. To me. Not neighbor, not somebody else. To me. What am I? A sinner. One of the most wonderful prayers in the Bible. Seven words. And this man went home justified. Amen. Now, I'm saying that's what you need to do. You need to call upon God, realize that the only mercy can come from God. He's the one's paid it all. Amen. And that you need his mercy. He don't owe you anything. He don't owe you a thing, but you need his mercy. Amen. And why? Because you're an old sinner. That's why. You're a sinner lost. You understand you're a sinner lost. And so you call upon God, ask him to save you, give you eternal life. Amen. I want to tell you something. The deliverance for this lady was expensive. It cost a lot. Now, I'm just saying to you, our deliverance cost a lot. Didn't cost you and me anything, but it cost a lot. And it was the greatest price that has ever been paid. It was a debt that you and I could not pay, or no one else could pay but God Almighty. Amen. So it was expensive. You see, salvation is not cheap. Salvation is expensive. Listen to what he says in Psalms 49. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. It's expensive. It's precious. And Jesus paid it all. Says in 1 Peter, first chapter, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's precious. The blood of Jesus is precious, and it's the only thing that could pay your sin debt. You hear me? Now listen to me. Some of you are not listening. Some of you are not hearing. You're not letting God speak to you. You're just not doing. You're sitting there playing around. But you better listen to this message. You better hear what I'm saying. It's expensive debt that you can't pay. Only God can pay it. Only he can pay it. And he's already paid it on the cross. But you have to receive it. You have to accept it as a payment for your sins, you see. And so then also we found out that his deliverance that he gave was sufficient. I want you to look in verse number 7. It says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. You know, it's a wonderful thing because he paid the debt, and then he also had plenty left over to live after that. You know, that's what God is saying to us. He doesn't just pay our sin debt. He gives us also life in Christ for the rest of our life and for the rest of eternity. He secured it all. Nothing left to pay. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't that a wonderful gift? Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't anybody want that? Amen? I thank God I got it back in 1966. Thank God for that. You see, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to receive Christ and to be saved, you see? Bible says that Christ is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. He's not only able to present you, but he's able to keep you from falling. You see, he's a wonderful God. Amen. And her deliverance also was through the agency, thank God, of oil. Now you say, Brother Ross, what's that mean? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God is spoken many times, referred to as oil. I want to tell you something. We are born by the Spirit of God. Amen. We're born by the Spirit of God. And when we're saved, we're born by the Holy Spirit of God who comes in to live within us and secure us forever and ever and ever. Marvelous thing. Listen to what the Holy Spirit does. The Bible says in Ephesians, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. I mean, when God saves us, the Holy Spirit comes in, he seals us forever and ever and ever. Amen. You don't ever have to worry about him losing us or leaving us. Amen. You hear what this preacher's saying? I'm saying to you, folks, it took a miracle of God to save this dear lady. Wasn't anything she done. It was all that God done. Amen. And saved her and delivered her from this terrible debt that she owed. Sons was going in to be bondsmen, and God delivered her through a miracle. God's still delivering folks through miracles. He's still doing that. He's still saving souls. Amen. I want you to understand something. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. I'm not talking about playing around with God. Do you hear me now? Not talking about playing around with God. You play around with God. You say, yeah, I know. I believe there's a God. Now, listen, it's more than that. It's believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's believing him, what he done on the cross for you. And you're willing to repent and trust Christ and say, I'm a lost sinner. Amen. Old Mephibosheth, we was talking about in our Sunday school, said to David, he said, why would you even have anything to do with an old dead dog like me? That's the spirit you have to come to when you get saved. You have to realize you're an old dead dog. Not much. Amen. Don't have much. You don't have anything to offer God. But you're willing to come to him and receive the blessings of God. Amen. So I'm saying to you, are you here without Christ? Are you here and you've never been saved? Can you say today, I am 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven? Can you say that in your heart? I'm saying, can you say that in your heart? I'm 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. And if so, why are you saying that? What's your trust in? What are you believing in? You understand what I'm saying? Who are you believing in? Who are you trusting in? Well, it must be in Jesus. It must be what he done for you and your belief, your trust in him and him alone. Amen? Amen. So I'm asking you to check out your salvation this morning. Make sure you're a child of God. Amen. So if you die, you'll go to heaven. I want you in heaven. God wants you in heaven. Amen. So you need to be ready. You need to be ready. If you're not ready, you need to come to Christ this morning. You need to walk down this aisle and let us take the Bible and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Everybody, bow your heads. Close your eyes. I just want to ask you a question. Say, Pastor Ross, this morning I'm here. I know for sure, 100% sure, that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand up, please? Indicate by raising your hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. You can put it back down. Say, Pastor Ross, I'm not sure whether if I died I'd go to heaven or not. I'm just not sure. I am concerned about it. And you preached this morning the way of salvation. And I'm concerned. I need to know. I need to make that right. I need to come and receive Christ as my Savior. Now, I promise you, we'll not call your name out. We'll point you out. I won't do any of those things. But you say, Brother Ross, I'm concerned. I believe I need to be saved. Would you just raise your hand, please? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand, please. Say, I believe I need to be saved. I'm not saved. I need to be ready to meet God. Anyone, please? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the love of God that brought salvation to us through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, should there be any here that's unsaved, this will be the day they will step forward and come and receive Christ and be born again. And Lord, thank you for God's people. Thank you for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for delivering us and preparing, not only taking care of deliverance, but also taking care of our future. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.